You know, in just a couple of short weeks, the world will celebrate the holiday that has become known as Easter. Next Friday night, many feel begin the entrance to what is called Holy Week. And there's going to be a number of things that go on, and we're going to see stuff. You're going to see billboards. You're going to see things that talk about things like Palm Sunday. And you're going to see things that talk about this Holy Week. The scripture that Andrew read for us, I want to reread, but I want to read it in a slightly different context. This is a narrated Bible which takes all four of the Gospels and puts it into one paragraph, the subject that we're going to talk about. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, in a home of a man known as Simon the leper, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. And then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, a very expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet. She wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. There's a lot of things that are going to happen in this final week of Jesus' life. Jesus is going to be approached by his closest friend to betray him with a kiss. An even closer friend is going to deny, even with an oath, 3 times that he even knows the man. Jesus is going to walk down a road on Sunday that is paved with palm fronds, and a road just on the other side of town that Friday, carrying his very own cross. Jesus is going to walk into the temple, the very place where his children had a relationship with his Father, and he's going to see what they have become. And he's going to be so angry that he's going to turn the tables upside down and cast them out and say, "This is a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of robbers." He's going to walk by the very coastal areas that he had walked his entire life, and he's going to give his disciples a few more words, a few more thoughts. Jesus is going to do more teaching in the next 3 days that we have recorded than he did the entire time he was here. Jesus is going to have a final supper in which he will put a towel around his waist, and he will get down on his knees and wash the feet of the very creation that he made. But on this night, he goes to Bethany. He goes to a familiar place, a place that all he knows is love. His good friend Lazarus, who he couldn't see depart this world, he raised him up and brought him back. Martha and Mary, who he loved dearly. Even with their arguments, and then there's Simon the leper. We don't know a lot about this man. It's very possible that this Simon the leper was the father of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But it's not the only Simon that we read about in the New Testament. And it's not the only Simon that we read about that Jesus reclined at a table and dined in his house. And that is not the only Simon's house in which Jesus' feet are going to be anointed. And the first time a woman in the city, uninvited, came in, she wept and she knelt and she prayed and she cried. She washed. But this time is different. Jesus is not ministering tonight. Jesus is being ministered to. He is not teaching a lesson. He is being honored. Jesus is not feeding or washing or teaching. He is being fed. He is being washed. He is being anointed and served to prepare him for what is about to come. And it says that the fragrance of this perfume filled the whole house. And in my heart, I can only think that that fragrance filled Jesus with hope that next week as he washed the disciples' feet, as he prayed in the garden, and as he walked to that hill. They say you know a lot about a person when you look at what they do in the very last days of their life. I have something I'd like to read to you. See, it was early on the final week. The props and the players for Friday's drama are in position. 6-inch spikes are in the bin. A cross beam leans against a shed wall. Torn limbs are wrapped around a trellis, awaiting the weaving of a soldier's fingers. The players are nearing the stage. Pilate is concerned at a number of Passover pilgrims. Annas and Caiaphas are restless over the volatile Nazarene. Judas views his master with furtive eyes. A centurion is available, awaiting the next crucifixion. Players and props. Only this is no play. It is a divine plan. A plan began before Adam felt heaven's breath, and now all heaven waits and watches. All eyes are on the one figure, this Jesus of Nazarene. Commonly clad, yet uncommonly focused, leaving Jericho and walking towards Jerusalem. He doesn't chatter. He doesn't pause. He is on a journey. He is on his final journey. And even the angels are silent. They know that this is no ordinary walk. They know that this is no ordinary week. For hinged on this week is the door of all eternity. Let's walk with him. Let's see how Jesus spent his final days. Let's see what mattered to God. When a man knows the end is near, only the important surfaces. Impending death distills the vital. The trivial is bypassed. The unnecessary is overlooked. That which is vital remains. So if you would know Christ, ponder his final days. He knew the end was near. He knew the finality of Friday. He read the last chapter before it was written and heard the final chorus before it was sung. As a result, the critical was centrifuged with the casual. Distilled truths taught, deliberate deeds done, each step calculated, every act meditated, knowing he had just 1 week with his disciples. What did Jesus tell them? knowing that it would be his last time in the temple. How did Jesus act? Conscious that the last sand was slipping through the hourglass. What mattered? Enter the Holy Week and observe. Feel his passion, laughing as children sing, weeping as Jerusalem ignores, scorning as priests accuse, pleading as disciples sleep, feeling sad as Pilate turns, senses power, blind eyes seeing, fruitless trees withering, money changers scampering, religious leaders cowering, tomb opening. Hear his promise. Death has no power. Failure holds no prisoners. Fear has no control, for God has come. God has come into your world to take you home. Let us follow Jesus on his final journey. If you spend some time in the Word next week, go and see the final week of our Lord. See what mattered most to him. I'll tell you the answer. What mattered most to him was you. What mattered most to him was me. And he went to that cross. And he said, I love you so much. Come to me. He stands outside. He knocks on the door. He says, all you got to do is open it and I'll come in and everything's going to be okay. He said, this is what it was meant to be. This is the relationship we were supposed to have. This is the life we were supposed to have. Together, you and me. He prayed it, and we talked about it this morning, that you and I are one, just as I and the Father am one. Jesus said, come. Matthew, in our series on Wednesday night, follow me. Follow me. Jesus says, come. He left us his legacy. He left us his very heart. He left us his passions. And he said, come. If you're here this morning and you need to come, the baptistry has been prepared. You can walk out of this as a new creature today, fresh as you were a brand new baby, washed clean of your sins, ready to rise out of the watery graves of baptism to walk in a new life. The gospel is presented. Jesus Christ, the good news, I died for you, he said. You must live through me. Repent of your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Accept the fact that he loves you. And submit to his will. And then be baptized. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And as Paul told Timothy, you will receive a crown of life, which the great judge has prepared not only for him, but for all of us and for all of those who have loved his appearing. Do you love him? We're going to sing a song of invitation right now. The song is a song asking, lead me gently home, Father. Lead me gently home. Lest I fall along the wayside, Father, lead me home. If you need to come home, if you're not a Christian, or maybe you need the prayers of the elders here, they are here today and they are here to pray for you. Let's stand and sing.